Annie Hartnett is the author of Unlikely Animals, which won the Julia Ward Howe Prize for Fiction and was longlisted for the Joyce Carol Oates Prize. She's also the author of Rabbit Cake, a finalist for the New England Book Award. Her latest is a novel, The Road to Tender Hearts, which is comic, darkly comic, and also warm-hearted, about an old guy on a cross-country mission to reunite with his high school crush, bringing together his adult daughter, two orphan kids, and a cat who can predict death. The cat's name is Pancakes. We spoke with Annie Hartnett about how she came to this idea.
He realizes that if that man is dead, the woman that that man married is single again, so he decides to drive across country and win her back. And so it was originally inspired by another man I knew whose wife would cut up the newspaper for him every morning and would cut out the news that would upset him. So the inspiration came from me thinking about an older man reading the newspaper, but trying to avoid things that would upset him, which is what P.J. Halliday does, but he still reads the obituaries. So yeah. That's where it came from.
And damn near impossible to do now, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, everything's bad.
Right, finding the news that wouldn't upset you. So yeah. this is a really interesting book because it is so funny, and yet it is it's also tough going too. It's a dark subject matter.
Yeah, I definitely write dark comedies. It is the book is so much about sort of all my anxieties about the world matched with my coping mechanism about the world, which is to look for hope and things that make me laugh. So it's a real combination of there are, you know, if you're a person who pays attention to trigger warnings before you read, it has every single possible trigger warning that you could list. But it's kind of a, novels are not therapy, but it's a little bit like, okay, how can we laugh at all this bad stuff and how can we work to be better? So it does have everything bad in it, but it is full of funny situations and it's supposed to make you laugh and ultimately feel hopeful.
Well, how can you not laugh when the book starts off with a nursing home cat named Pancakes?
Yes. So before you meet PJ Halliday, who's the main character, there's a prologue where you meet Pancakes, the death-predicting cat, he's a therapy cat who works in the Pondville nursing home, and they discover that he has the ability to predict death, which was based on a real cat named Oscar, who was a therapy cat in a Rhode Island hospital who predicted over 100 deaths. So, but Oscar had a different reception than Pancakes did. Oscar was cherished by the nursing home, and Pancakes gets kicked out because the residents don't like that he's a little grim reaper walking around. They find him creepy. So he gets kicked out, and he ends up going on the road trip with PJ Halliday. So the cat really does keep the tone light, and even when it's really dark, the cat is sort of our guide through the darkness.
PJ is also accompanied by his youngest daughter, Sophie, and then two orphans as well. How did you decide to fill out the car, if you will?
Yeah, so originally I was going to write the book about the man whose newspaper got cut up by his wife, and then I was writing another one about Pancakes, and then I was writing another one about two kids who were orphaned. And I realized that if I used the cat, they could all be together and that they could all have, it could be a found family road trip book. And then Sophie, the adult daughter, has to come along to make sure that things don't go too off the rails. So it came together through, I'm a person who writes into an idea. I don't necessarily know where it's heading. But once I had the cat as sort of the guide and the voice of the narrator, it all came together. So it is a book where I'm very inspired by John Irving and how he writes. You know, there's lots of different things in the plot. You don't know. They all just feel pleasurable to read, and you don't think about what he's going to do with them. And then in the end, he pulls off this big magic trick where everything matters. and everything's interconnected. And so that is really what I tried to do with this book, too.
Do you always, once you write yourself in, do you ever get to a point of saying, oh, my God, how am I going to get myself out?
I guess once I have the right voice, I mean, and that's where it's not the voice, the cat does not narrate the story, but there's an omniscient narrator that has ability to go into the cat's point of view, to go into all the people's point of view. Once I have the voice and I have a command of the voice, I feel like I can, I don't have to be too tethered to reality. So I can usually find my way out. What's hard for me is really the first draft of the first 100 pages or so, when I'm like, what am I writing about? Finding the way out isn't as hard as getting in for me.
You mentioned John Irving, and he's been on our program and has described his style of writing backwards, of writing a book with the last sentence, and from there working back to where the story begins. But I understand with what you're describing and the similarities in that you have a situation and then you just sort of let it go where it goes, right?
Yes, that's much more my style. At some point, I do figure out the last line well before I'm done with it, and then I have what I call a container of a book, and then it's easier for me to fill the container once I do have that last line. But I don't start out. I have heard him say many times that he starts with the last line, and that seems very brilliant to me, but I don't work that way.
But going in, and where the similarities is just of how much, you know, just odd, fun, interesting stuff, and yes, a lot of death can happen in a book and still be entertaining.
Yes, I like books that have a lot of darkness in them and yet still have a sense of humor. I also like to play with a little bit of magic realism, like the cat that you can hear his thoughts. And there's also, the book is set in Pondville, Massachusetts, which is based on the very cleverly disguised Lakeville, Massachusetts, where I really live. But I like to add, I like just novels to be more than real life. So there are some real ponds and lakes from the town, but, you know, I add a mermaid. So it's just a little bit of magic, and it doesn't even have a huge impact on the plot, but I just like novels to be more fun than the real world. So lots of jokes and a little bit of magic.
Do you ever reach a point where you think to yourself, I mean, do you have a discussion of saying, mermaid, no mermaid? Is that going too far? Or if it feels right, it feels right.
With the mermaid, so you never see the mermaid, really. And so with me and magic, like, I used to write, when I was starting out, I would write more, like, strictly actual magic. And then I found that if I worked in this more magic realism where I push up against the bubble of realism but don't pop it into magic. So there may not be a mermaid in the town, but what happens is the teenage boys take their dates down to the lake to look for the mermaid. And so I, with anything with my writing, if it amuses me or like sort of delights me or gives me like a ping of pleasure or makes me laugh, then it stays. And if it's just, you know, if it doesn't work in that way, then I'll take it out. I try not to pop the bubble of realism. I just push up as hard as I can against it.
I one of my favorite lines from an author interview ever was with Dean Koontz, who said, well, you know, it was never my intention for the monkey to be able to talk. And I thought, well, yeah, that's the and once it does, it just changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's a great quote. You know, and that's, I think, some of when you go into a writing project, and I heard someone say that, you know, everyone talks about plotters versus pantsers, and that's the way people divide writers. But a friend of mine said, well, there's also foragers who go into the woods looking for things and don't know what they'll discover. And that is that is my writing experience is, I'll start out with a basic idea and don't know what I'm discovering. And then, yeah, if the monkey starts talking, then I've discovered a magic mushroom and everything's a little more fun from there.
And is that process of discovery fun? I mean, is that what keeps you ultimately going and trusting yourself to be able to get a good story out of those elements.
Yeah, I am a writer that has a lot of fun when I'm in the middle of a novel. And so I do think that that comes across when people read my work as like, oh, she seems like she's having a lot of fun. And so I hope people have fun alongside me. And I'm not a person who takes myself too seriously, and the books don't take themselves too seriously either. I mean, they are about, you know, they do have a depth of emotion, but it's also like, let's try to laugh at all these crazy circumstances that this older man gets himself into.
The name of the book is The Road to Tender Hearts, and it is just out from Ballantine. Annie Hartnett, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Road to Tender Hearts by Annie Hartnett. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.